Welcome everybody into our service this morning, and I want to say happy Independence Day. We're thankful that you've made your way here today, and we've come to worship the Lord, and we're celebrating. We're celebrating the freedom that we have to even do this. The amount of people throughout the world that would love to have this privilege and opportunity, it's tremendous. So I thank the Lord this morning, and I'm sure you do as well, for the freedom and the privilege we have to do this. All right, just one extra announcement. This goes along with one of the announcements in the bulletin, but Vacation Bible School for 6th grade and up will be Monday, July the 10th through the 14th. Anyone interested in helping with or providing snacks, there's going to be a short meeting immediately this morning following the morning service back here in the Foundations classroom right after church. So if you could, if you're interested in doing that or could help with that, I'm sure it would be greatly, greatly appreciated. All right. I'm going to ask what we want to do right now. We'd like to recognize some folks on this Independence Day weekend, and I'm going to ask everybody to hold your applause till the end. But right now, if we have any active military folks in our presence, I'd like for you to stand. Anyone that's active in the military. Okay, we got one up there. All right. Do we have it? Remain standing, please. All right. Do we have any veterans among us this morning? Any veterans? I'd like for you to stand and remain standing. Now, I'd like for all of our first responders, police, fire, ambulance, those folks that serve us every day, if we have any of those among us, I'd like for you to stand. On behalf of Goldtown Church, we just want to say thank you for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you're doing in the future to keep this country safe and for the freedom that we have. On behalf of the church, we want to say thank you. I'm going to ask the rest of the church to stand. Remain standing, please. I've asked Stevie McCollum, he's with the Boy Scout Troop number 19, if he would go to the mic. He's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm going to ask you to remain standing, and Chris will be leading us in America the Beautiful.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you need it, 309 in the hymnal. 309, we're going to sing them all.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for on thy liberty in law. Beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved.
Our tithes and offerings. Todd, would you pray for the offering and our service, please?
Father in heaven, Lord of our brothers, be in your house, Lord, to be in a country, Lord, blessed by you.
Amen.
Prisoner, but thou will bless the slave at thy will. With a desire, plant it deep within your heart. You pray in faith and wait for God to move. Time passes and you wonder, did He hear me when I called? Should I have even prayed that prayer at all? You never pray a prayer your Father will not answer. He can't ignore His child's earnest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought come and you're convinced you're on your own. But the teacher's often silent while you're in the hardest test. But He'll answer when it's time with what is best. You never pray a prayer your Father will not answer. He can't ignore His child's earnest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if He says no, you're still blessed. Just like we pray, then other times what's on His mind is a better plan, another way, a greater yes. You never pray a prayer your Father will not answer. He can't ignore His child's earnest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if He says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if He says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. There must be a greater yes. Life can be filled with what ifs and if onlys as we settle in the valley of regret. A hopeless situation has no consolation, and it seems that giving up is all that's left. But we must take God at His word and have the faith to trust the Lord, knowing that He's not finished yet. What if we really believe that God would meet our every need, and nothing is impossible with Him? We give account for every word and deed. He says, child, I had so much in store. If only you had trusted more. It only takes the faith of a mustard seed. What if only His plans are bigger than my mind can grasp. But I will never know what God can do till I trust in Him to see me through, knowing He will bring His will to pass. What if we really believe that God will meet our every need? Nothing is impossible with Him. What if, when we stand before our Maker, instead of hearing you've been faithful, as we give account for every word, if only you had trusted more. It only takes the faith of a mustard seed. What if only you believed?
Amen. All right. All hearts free?
Well, I'm thankful this morning that I have the freedom to come to church.
Amen.
Nobody tells me whether I can go or not, but I have the freedom
Amen.
To come, and I'm thankful.
Amen. Bless you. Amen. Yeah.
You know, thankful for that. We go to, I know these guys can tell you too, they've been a lot more places than me, but they don't even like you to take your Bible. I mean, if you do, you got to kind of keep it hid a little bit, because a lot of those places we go, they don't want you to have it. They don't want you to have God's word. But I'm glad that we live in a country that we've got God's word. We can stand. I'm just happy. I'm
Amen.
Blessed beyond measure. I don't have anything else to say but thank the Lord. He's blessed me more than I deserve. Amen.
Bless Amen. You. Bless you. Bless you. Anybody else?
Ron, I'll stand this morning and just, I'm like Timmy, I don't have a great big testimony either, but I do want to just say how thankful I am that last year the Lord allowed my little family to get to mark something off my
Amen. Bless you. All right. I'm going to ask Pastor Aaron to come. He's bringing the word this morning. And I'm going to ask his son, Jamin, would you mind standing and asking God's anointing upon your dad this morning?
I love
the Lord.
Amen. Say good morning to each of you. It's a privilege to be here today. It's a privilege to come together. And my thought for today is going to focus on two things. And it's really the same thing, but it's two different things. The first is going to talk about liberty. And I'd like for you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to I guess you could say give some roses today to some different people, but I want you to be much in prayer, but I'd like to give you a definition of liberty. And the one I looked up, there were actually seven different definitions, but they all had something in common. So listen as I read through these, and maybe you can tell me what they have in common when I finish. The first one says freedom from arbitrary or despotic government or control. Second one is freedom from external or foreign rule, independence. The third one, freedom from control, interference, obligation, restriction, hampering conditions, power or right of doing, thinking, speaking, etc. Freedom from captivity, confinement, or physical restraint. The prisoner soon regained his liberty. This next one deals with the Navy. Anyone in here served in the Navy? No Navy men? Here we go. The two of you, okay. Tony, when your ship would port someplace, what would they give you when they told you you could go ashore? What? Huh? They gave you a pass. And what did they call that time? Your liberty pass. And this one says permission granted to a sailor, especially in the Navy, to go ashore. The next one is freedom or right to frequent or use a place. And it says the visitors were given the liberty of the city. And the seventh one is unwarranted or impertinent freedom in action or speech, or a form of Orson Sevitt, to take liberties. Anybody see a common word there with liberty?
Freedom.
Freedom. Songs that have been sung this morning are about freedom. And I'm so thankful for the liberty, as some of you have stated this morning, that we have to come and worship. What was this nation founded upon? Founded upon God, and the reason that they came to America was for what? Freedom of worship. Freedom to come and worship without being told where to go, when to go, and how to go. And I thought, you know, oftentimes we forget those freedoms. We forget those liberties that we have. But let's read Galatians 5 and 1, and here's what it says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That liberty that he was talking about there was the freedom from sin. And I thought, you know, when we think about liberty, we think about the freedom to go here and there as we please in our country. Why do people want to come to America? They realize that there is a freedom here. They can do and they can get a job or start a business or whatever. So they want to be here. Now, I want to, the first part of this is, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the statue that's in New York Harbor. Anybody know what that's called? Statue of Liberty. Anybody know where that statue is located? It's on an island that's now called Liberty Island. And it was a joint project between two countries. Anybody know what two countries? France and the United States. In 1864, there was a gentleman who came up with this thought of creating a statue that we see today, the Statue of Liberty. His name was Edward D. Laberle, and he was a Frenchman. And he got with a sculptor 10 years later. His name was Frederick Augustus Bartholdi. And he was commissioned to design a sculpture in 1876. Anybody see a number there that sounds familiar? What would 1876 represent? It was 100 years since we declared our independence. So he began to work on this, and 10 years later, it was brought to America. You say, how did they get it here? And they brought it by ship. And it was broken down into like 350 pieces in 210 crates. Anybody know what the Statue of Liberty is made of? Copper. All the copper thieves we had today, you'd think they'd be up there melting that down, wouldn't you? It's got a steel structure inside of it, and it's got copper lathes around it to form the Statue of Liberty. And I thought, you know, how in the world did they come up with that kind of a statue? But when he began to design this, he asked for some help from a fella. And his name was Alexandre Gustave Eiffel. Anybody know who he might have been? He built the Eiffel Tower. So he went to someone who knew something about building tall structures. And he went to him, and they got together, and they put this together. But France's part of this project was to build the statue. America's, or the U.S.'s part of this project was to build the pedestal, the base, out of granite. How many in here, or has anyone in here been to the Eiffel Tower? Got six of you here that have been to the Eiffel Tower. And I thought of this, and I thought, you know, it was built there and put there for people to recognize when they came to America, what were they coming to? Land of the free. Land of the free. And again, it's just a symbol, but it's a symbol that men recognize today. When in New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky. I want to just real quickly, I want to give you a few statistics on there real quick. The copper part of the statue is actually 151 feet 1 inches tall. From the foundation all the way up to the top of the torch, it's 305 feet and 1 inch. The height of the hand is 16 feet 5 inches. The index finger is 8 feet 1 inches. That's how big it is. The head is actually 17 feet and 3 inches tall from the chin up. The thickness is 10 feet wide. The distance between the eyes is 2 feet and 6 inches. The right arm is held up is 46 feet long. And in some places it's 12 feet thick. And the waist, I know all of us are trying to get our waist down to what we need it to be. You know, 35, 36 inches is a good waist for some of us. I haven't been there for a long time, but the thickness of the waist on the statue is 35 feet. And the width of the mouth is 3 feet. And the tablet that she holds in her hand. Anybody know what's on that tablet? It gives a date. Anybody know what date would be on there? July the 4th, 1776. That tablet is 20 feet and 7 inches in length. But she's holding that in her hand, and it's telling as a tribute that the United States declared their independence in 1776 on July the 4th. And 100 years later, 110 years later, this statue was brought in and erected. I've got just a couple more here. The height of the pedestal on top of the foundation, the pedestal is 89 feet tall. And the height of the foundation is 65 feet. And when you go to talk about the materials that it was built out of, when I was talking about melting down the copper, 60,000 pounds of copper make up the Statue of Liberty. That's 30 tons. And the steel within the skeleton, they call it the skeleton, the steel within that is fastened to is 250,000 pounds. And the total weight of the statue is 450,000 pounds. And the thickness of the copper that's wrapped, that forms it, is 3/32 of an inch. So a lot went into that, a lot of thought went into that. to recognize one thing, and what was that? The freedom that the United States had attained from England. The freedom to worship, the freedom to come together, the freedom to bring their families. I've got a lot of stuff here this morning. I've got a song that I'm going to have Steve play in just a minute. It talks about two things. It talks about the Statue of Liberty. And it talks about the cross. And those are the two things that I want you to leave here with today. The Statue of Liberty represents our freedom. The cross represents our freedom from what? Sin. It was His death on the cross that brought that about, but I'll get into that a little more. But I want to pay tribute to a singing group that recorded this song. He's going to play in just a minute. 25 years ago, this song was recorded. It was actually written in 1974 by Neil Onlow. The words and the music were by him. But I think he really had the thought of what freedom was all about. Both sides of it. And I want you to leave here today thinking about these two things, the Statue of Liberty and the cross. And I hope you'd never look at them in a different, in the same, I hope you look at them differently going forward. But this song was written by him, and I'm just going to quickly read the words of it. It says, "In New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky." Now you know how long that arm is, don't you? 43 feet long. "And that torch raised to the sky, and all that see her knows she stands for liberty for you and me. I'm so proud to be called an American, to be named with the brave and the free. I will honor our flag and our trust in God and the Statue of Liberty. On lonely Golgotha stood a cross. With my Lord raised to the sky. And all who kneel there live forever as all the saved can testify. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransom and whole. As the statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. On the cross is my statue. Oh, the cross is my Statue of Liberty. It was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my Statue of Liberty." I'm going to read some names here real quickly. And if you're here or you're here related to someone that's on this, I'd like for you to stand. This song was recorded by a group of young people, young teenagers, about 50 of them. They sang for several years. They were a part of our church for several years too. If you're here this morning, and what's so neat about this list is the ones who were singing back then, many of them are still serving the Lord. There's preachers, there's teachers. Susie sent out word to some of them to let them know we were going to play this today if they wanted to come. But the thing of it was, one of them wrote her back and said, "I won't be able to come. I'm directing our choir this morning." Don Ombi, which is Valerie's daughter, wrote back and said, I won't be able to be there. I'm teaching Sunday school this morning." And down through this list, many of them are teachers, preachers, as I said. But I want to quickly read them. If you're here, I'd like for you to stand. The director at that time was Susan Jones. Stand up. I don't know her very well. Becky Anderson Strickland, Melinda Ashby, Albert Ashby, Mitzi Bailey, now Bumpus, Troy Bain, Kara Baker, Marcy Baker, Camden Barnett, Todd Bogus, Rob Bumpus. See, he did sing at one point in time in his life. I want to share something else, too, when I get finished with this. Yeah, he's still sitting next to Chris. Chuck Bumpus, Pam Burdett, Jerry Cavender II, which was Jerry's son, Jacqueline Kuhn, Sonia Curry, Crystal Curry, Aaron Fisher, Charlie and Brenda's son, Tim Gibson, Jenny Hill, Sue Haddix, Sue's now a Bailey, Johnny Hill, Heath Hill, Jeremy Jones, who's our oldest son, Chris Kuntz, Lisa Landers, Melissa Martin, Brenda's here, you stand for her, Brenda, Paul Mendez, Al, you stand for Paul. That's their sons and daughters. Stephanie Metzer, Michelle Moss, who's now a Shallon. Jeff Mosteller, not the fellow who was here last Sunday, but the fellow who's actually one of the ministers in Sissonville. Don Ownby, who I just mentioned, that's Valerie's daughter. Cindy Parsons, Tim Parsons, Katie Beth Ransom, Serena Schaefer, Joey Schaefer, Michael Shallon, Bo Shallon, Meredith Stevens. Now, y'all probably don't know who Meredith Stevens is. Stand up, Meredith Stevens Kuntz. Keitha Lynn Stewart, now Sable. Gwen Thomas, who was Carolyn's daughter. Carolyn, you stand for Gwen. Let's see where I lost my place now. I missed several here. I got out of... Okay, Keith and Lynn Stewart, Mark Stover, Joe and Dolores. You can stand. Mark was in there. Chip Strickland, Candy Hill, Candy Thaxton, who's now a Hill. Karen White is also Joe and Dolores. Jessica Wilkerson, she's now a Strickland. Jody Williams, Natalie Wolf, Mike and Brenda can stand for Natalie, and Christy Workman. And those were people who are part of this tape that I'm about to play, and you may be seated. Thank you for your dedication and years. Many of those young people are now involved in other churches, as I said, teaching, leading choirs, and whatever. So, Steve, go ahead and play this song. 25 years ago, this group got together. Before he plays it, I would like to say that they had a photo shoot in the Daniel Boone around the fountain up there, and it's out in the foyer if you want to glance at that when you leave. But there was something special that happened that night, and Robbie brought Lori to that on their first date. So she sat there on a hard floor for 3 hours while they took pictures. And then he took her out for a romantic dinner at Taco Bell following that. But I guess Lori wasn't looking for a whole lot, so she stayed around. So go ahead, Steve, play this song.
Yeah.
I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8, real quickly. I will not keep you very long. Yes, I did forget something. And you might have heard the musicians that were in that group. And the drummer on that tape was Steve Kuntz, who's with us this morning. Steve, stand up. Frank Batten was the assistant, and Anita Matheny was playing the piano. Christy Miller was playing the organ and or keyboard, and Greg Kuntz was also a part of that. He played the bass guitar for that recording. So they had been together about 8 years at that time when they recorded that. But in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31, it says, "Now said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Christ is the reason that we have our freedom today. I thought of the instance of Christ being crucified. Crucifixion was the Romans' way of punishing, capital punishment. And the reason was they wanted you to hang on that cross because they wanted to deter criminal acts. So they leave you hanging. And many times if they crucified you early in the week, they would tie you up with a rope, tie your hands with a rope so that you could suffer longer. But if they wanted to expedite the death side of it, they would nail you to the cross. Normally in this part of the hand where the strength was in the wrist there, and then in the feet. But you can see how that would add to the torment and suffering. And Christ suffered for one reason. Does anybody know what he suffered for? To set you free. The Statue of Liberty didn't do a thing. Statue of Liberty didn't fight a war. Statue of Liberty didn't suffer anything because it was man-made. But it's a symbol that recognizes our freedom today. Now this cross, I thought many times, you ever catch yourself in service just staring at the cross? And you ever think what happened on that cross? And I thought, you know, the cross has become our symbol of freedom as far as Christianity goes. I've got a cross here, and I'm wondering if any of you can tell me who may have made that cross for me. Mike Purnell. How many in here have a cross that Mike Purnell made for you, a wooden cross? I thought that was his ministry. And oftentimes I keep this at my house. It's got my name on it down here. But up here it's got the name of Jesus. It's got the crown of thorns and the blood that showed on those crown of thorns. But I thought, you know, Mike has done going on home. He's outstripped us. But he left behind many of these crosses that a lot of times we take them and put them in our drawer, never think about them. But you should always remember that the cross is your Statue of Liberty. Yeah. It's your freedom from the bondage of what?
Sin.
The opposite of free is to be bound. And Christ set us free by dying on the cross. And I thought, you know, you say, what's these doing up here? Anybody know what these are? These are football cleats. These are the cleats of a kicker. And Susie was cleaning in the garage and she showed me this, and I don't know that I'd seen them before. But these cleats are my son's. You see what he drew on the left cleat? A cross. He walked on the football field with all those other players, and if they ever looked at him kicking, you know what they were going to see? The cross. And I thought, you know, I didn't tell Ron to have him pray before I got up here, but I thought I wanted to. He was a pretty good kicker. He was left-footed. That's why the cross is on the left foot. But I thought, as a kicker, your goal, you ever watch a kicker as he lines up? A lot of times they'll get over here and they'll do that. You know what they're doing? They're lining up. You know, if we'll take up our cross and follow him, we're going to line up. We're going to line up in our daily life to do what he would have us to do. So when you have a cross, maybe you wear one around your neck. Many people do. Maybe you wear it because it looks nice as a piece of jewelry. But really what you need to realize is that cross is what sets you free from the bondage of sin. So I'm thankful today for Mike Purnell. He gave me several of these crosses, different sizes. But a lot of times I forget what that cross really represents. And it represents our freedom as Christians. And we should always hold on to that. So I'm just, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the liberty that we have. I'm thankful for the freedom that we have. I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for my son who was willing to wear the cross on his shoe. But I'm so thankful for the Son of God who carried that cross for you and me. So if you're here this morning and you're bound and you haven't been set free, as we get a song of invitation, I want you to know, if you'll look to the cross and what Christ did on the cross, he died, was buried, 3 days, he rose again, he ascended into the heavens, but what's the main thing that's going to happen next? He's coming again for his church, those who have accepted him. If you're here this morning and you need Christ in your life, today is the day. I invite you to come. You can have that freedom that Christians all around the world enjoy today.
Let's all stand, turn to page 255. 255.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
I find thy power and thy
come today, and